Hello, hello. This is Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I am really excited about today's episode, and I'm excited because so much of what I'm doing with Naked Beauty, so much of what I hope to do with Naked Beauty is broaden the beauty conversation. We need to go so much deeper than just the skincare conversation, right? Because beauty isn't cosmetic. Cosmetics can be a part of your beauty expression, but beauty to me is an experience. Beauty is a way of feeling and moving throughout the world. My guest today, Daphne Javich, is a holistic nutrition and lifestyle coach, and she gives really straightforward advice on how to practice self-care. I mean, that's what she does for her business. She has a business called Doing Well, where she coaches people on their wellness journeys, people that are extremely busy or in different levels of their health journey. And one of the things that Daphne shares is that she used to work in the fashion industry, where everything is about kind of the outside aesthetics. And I really reflected about how much we focus on the aesthetics of beauty, but not what's inside. Like, we focus on lipstick and skincare, but like, how are your kidneys doing? You know, have you done blood work to see which vitamins you're deficient in? This needs to be a part of the beauty conversation. And I think it's an extremely well-timed episode because this is the point of the year where we face the reality that we maybe have not met our idealistic goals that we set forth in January. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. It is wonderful to set goals, but part of setting goals is sometimes you have stretch goals and sometimes you fall short of those goals. But what today's conversation with Daphne really reminded me is it's not too late to reach those goals and that vision you have of yourself, because small practical steps can be taken to get there. And this should ultimately be comforting to us, right? Because self-care is a practice. So I really use this time with Daphne to understand what it means in my day-to-day life to practice self-care. Like, very practically speaking, scheduling-wise, what does it mean to show up for myself? And what does it take to cultivate these goals that we have in life? And this is really any goal. If you want to get serious about exercise, if you want to overhaul your entire wardrobe, it takes effort and practical steps to get to the end goal. You have to schedule it and you have to prioritize it in your life. It's not just going to happen accidentally. But again, the great news is it's all cumulative. So if you read one page a day, every day, and you finish a book by the end of the year, guess what? You've still finished a book. It doesn't matter how quickly it took you to finish that book. If you drink one more glass of water a day, just add another glass of water. Over time, you are going to be doing better by your body. And before I get into my conversation with Daphne, let's also talk about doing the wrong thing, because I do the wrong thing all the time. I'm recording this currently. I had an incredible night last night. I went to the Vanity Fair Young Hollywood Oscars party at Chateau Marmont. It was beautiful and buzzy. It was hosted by Charles Melton and Barry Keoghan and Hunter Schafer. Just an incredible room of all of this talent. I was invited by Meta with some other people. We were threaditors for the night. So it was Evan Ross Katz, Harry Hill, Peyton Dix, all hilarious people on the internet. And they were like, yeah, just go and kind of like thread about your experience and share your process. I did a Get Ready With Me, of course. Anyway, it was a really fun night. But towards the end of the night, you know, everyone's drinking cocktails. They have these specialty cocktails. I was like, oh, I'll try a cocktail. I had three drinks, actually. I had three drinks. And I didn't feel like I was really drunk or sick or anything like that. But today, the morning after, I can feel like when I woke up in the morning, there was some very serious fog that had to be lifted. Like, it took me so much longer than usual to start my day, like to kind of get into the flow of my day because of those drinks I had last night. Now, that doesn't mean the input, the feedback to my body isn't like, don't drink ever, drinking makes you feel bad. Maybe the input for me is maybe 1.5 drinks instead of 3 drinks, and maybe start drinking water towards the end of the night. Swap out that, you know, second drink for 2 glasses of water, or have a glass of water for every cocktail, whatever that may be. But I had to have that experience of maybe not hydrating enough and having back-to-back cocktails to understand how to move differently and operate differently in the next party scenario, right? So we've got good news on good news. Self-care is something that you can practice in small, practical steps. And every time you make a quote-unquote mistake or a misstep, you can use that as feedback to understand how to approach it better next time. And I love conversations like the conversation I'm having with Daphne, because I think it's applicable to pretty much every single person listening. I know you all are going to love this conversation. If this is your first time listening to Naked Beauty, please make sure to subscribe. We have new episodes every Monday about skincare, wellness, self-care. I talk to really fascinating people across industries about beauty, but we go so much deeper. And if you are already subscribed to Naked Beauty and you love the content, please take the time to rate and review us on Apple. It helps more people find us. Thank you guys so much for the support. Let's get into the conversation with Daphne. You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Daphne, welcome to Naked Beauty. I am so excited for this conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm really blown away by the work that you do because you essentially help people feel well and be well full time. Like, your job is helping people to tap into their best physical health.
It is, but it's a blessing for me because one of the things that keeps me accountable and keeps me engaged in my own health is because I have the privilege and the opportunity to be in relationship with all the people I work with on a daily basis.
Yes, I did not always start in this field. You were working in fashion before, which couldn't be more different. And like me, arrived to Los Angeles coming from New York. So how did you find yourself doing what you do now?
Yeah, so I worked in fashion. I actually had what I considered and still consider like a pretty successful career in fashion. I was consulting at the time for Theory and Uniqlo, and I had my own line, an underwear line called 10 that was like high-waisted cotton granny underwear. And what happened was I had experienced extremely painful periods my entire life since I got my period at age 13. And when I was 34, I was hospitalized because several cysts burst on my ovaries. And I was diagnosed with, at the time they staged endometriosis. Now I believe they don't use the stages anymore, but I was diagnosed with stage 4 endometriosis. And I call this divine intervention, but at the time I was working with a health coach. And so even though at that moment they were really, the medical community was really pushing me to have a surgery, get directly on birth control, address this medically, allopathically, immediately, I took my time. And that's the divine intervention, is how rare it was in my life that I actually allowed myself to slow down and make decisions slowly, especially ones that felt scary. And I started to address my symptoms with diet and lifestyle.
Can I pause you there, Daphne? Because you used a term I actually don't know. Allopathically, what does that mean?
Okay, so allopathic refers to Western traditional medicine versus like holistic, or now we have integrative and functional medicine. So allopathic is the medical feedback that you would get if you went to the ER or urgent care is typically allopathic, like pure medical approach. So not really.
And endometriosis, which I've later in life also been diagnosed with, it's one of those things where like they don't screen for it. They don't monitor it. I was very confused why it took me so many years of having painful periods before I even heard the term endometriosis.
Yes, I think that you make such an interesting and important point. And it's also such a big point because it's really attached to, if I could say, this is a female problem. And a lot of medicine is focused on men. And there's also not a lot of information and studies. And so part of it too is that endometriosis is linked to having a period. And there's a misconception that period should be or might be uncomfortable, and that's normal. And beyond uncomfortable, but very painful. So I was 13 when I got my period, and I was 34 when I was diagnosed. And it was after a traumatic rupture on my ovary. And I had very difficult periods for all of those years where I would take like up to 12 Advil a day as like a 15-year-old. And bless my attentive, loving parents, but they just thought this is what some people go through when they have their period. So endometriosis has been very elusive and is really now coming more into, I think, focus.
Yes. I feel like we should explain what endometriosis is and also say that you can have, I believe, asymptomatic endometriosis, right? Like you can have endometriosis with no symptoms.
Like just simply put, when you have a period, endometrial tissue comes out. So when you bleed, endometrial tissue of an egg that was not fertilized leaves the body. For those of us that have endometriosis, some of that tissue remains. It doesn't fully cleanse or come out, and it grows inside the body where it shouldn't. And that then can cause inflammation, discomfort, infertility, digestive issues, mood issues. For some people, it grows on the ovaries. And I've worked with people that have it growing on their legs and their lungs. Mm. There could be a lot of anal pressure. So it can spread.
So you have this cyst rupture and you realize you need to focus on your health. How does that then come to you starting your own practice?
Yeah. So I really dove in and committed to working with my coach, who actually, it was Mary Ruth Guillaume, who now has a very successful supplement line called Mary Ruth Organics. Yes. But she's a health coach. And I had another practitioner in New York who was a colon hydrotherapist. His name is Gil Jacobs. And they were really my two they became my mentors, but they were practitioners who taught me so much about, let's call it a cleansing lifestyle, a lifestyle that's about unburdening our detox pathways. We can get into more detail about that later. And so I really committed to a rigorous healing lifestyle, I would call it. And within 6 months, I went from taking 12 Advil on the worst day of my period to taking one Advil. And now I don't take Advil during my periods. And it was eye-opening. Also, having worked in fashion, where my understanding of health was so external and so visual. Yes. And then suddenly to be like, I have a colon. I only knew that I had cellulite. I have a colon. Right. And to really experience, and it's not like this solved all my problems. I don't want to be one of those people like, I take one Advil. It didn't. More things arose as I've continued on my journey. But I really experienced that my body has a default desire to heal if I support it. It doesn't mean I'll be perfect or heal completely. I don't want people to think that, because we live in a very unnatural modern world. And so we're up against so much when it comes to our natural expression of health. But I just had such a profound shift that I was like, wow, I want to study this and I want to do this. And everyone was like, what? You're crazy. Like, health coaching was not cool then.
And also working in fashion, where it's so about the artifice, the external, what in the mirror, and then realizing there's this whole inner world for our body. And I also think that fashion is one of those industries, actually a lot of industries now, and in our increasingly work-obsessed culture, where burnout is just the default. Everyone's operating at the level of burnout, and it's not even diagnosed or named as such. And also New York, I love New York City, but it's also a place where everyone's exhausted and everyone's not sleeping, and it gets normalized. Like, being unhealthy, frazzled, exhausted, overwhelmed is normalized.
And so true. And people take pride in, yes, being like, I slept 2 hours last night, as if that is so profoundly counterintuitive to our natural rhythm or our natural being. Yeah, totally. And I actually am so grateful, because currently I live in LA. I'm so grateful that the first 7-8 years of my practice were in New York, because I pride myself on helping people improve their lives under conditions that are not ideal.
Like, yes. Yes. I know when we first talked, we talked about how sometimes a lot of health advice around, oh, meditate for all of these hours a day and then go for a walk and then take a long bath and then chop yourself a salad. I don't have time to do all of this stuff. Like, I need to feel good in a way that's realistic for my lifestyle.
Yeah. And health is cumulative. So maybe people are able to do that for one day, but actually what matters is such a much smaller decision or action done for 12, 14, 20, 80, 90 days. So it just can't, health has to be, our practice has to be sustainable, because it's cumulative. It requires consistency and repetition to have an impact.
Yes. Okay. This is a perfectly timed conversation because I have been spending so much effort trying to create sustainable, healthy habits for myself. I went from working in a corporate setting where I just had meetings all day to now controlling my own schedule. So you would actually think that was conducive to having a healthier schedule. But what I find is I burn the candle at both ends. I don't stop and take lunch breaks, or I just don't plan for lunch. Like, I'm one of the things that I really struggle with is, how do I set up my daily schedule just day to day in a way that is conducive to like my optimal health?
Okay. So when I started working as a coach and I did not have children, and to be honest, I didn't have that many clients because I just started, I was all about what you should eat and the nutritional nuts and bolts of my practice. That remains really important. But what I've really learned over time is most people have a general sense of what we should do. It's how can I do this and integrate it with real life? And so it's really about making those things doable. And that has so much to do with rhythm and routine. And actually, Mary Ruth said this thing recently in an interview she did that I have used so much since, which is she said she helps people manage their time to manage their health.
Wow.
And it's so important. It's worth saying again, like managing our time to manage our health. And I really think having a routine is so important. And sometimes it gets a little confusing because a routine is not knowing exactly what you're going to do from 9:30 until 5:30. It's having a rhythm to return to as a scaffold and as an accountability practice. So I'm so happy you mentioned lunch, because lunch is like a huge thing for me. For me personally, lunch is such a reprieve. It's when I have a moment to myself. I sit, I really enjoy my meal. I'm not living in Spain. It's not 2 hours, right? Sometimes it's 20 minutes, but I eat really nourishing, beautiful foods and I'm resourced by that moment. And it's really made me realize that self-care is a discipline, especially for people like yourself who are in like a leadership position and you have your own company, that really renewing your personal energy source is essential to being deliberate, to being accountable, being present, being fueled and capable of doing your work.
And I remember when we had this conversation about how good leaders, part of being a good leader and being a successful person is taking care of yourself. Like that is part of your work. Like you need to make that a priority or else your business or anything else you've got going on is not going to be successful.
Totally. Absolutely. And it's really so interesting because we live in a world that is so demanding and is pulling us in so many directions and is forcing us all to be multitaskers. And we're actually monotaskers. And so there's a big kind of tumbleweed of stress that comes from feeling like there's not enough time. And the first thing that we put aside often is our own self-care practice.
I do want to hear about this beautiful lunch practice that you have, because I just want to understand practically how you do it. Are you preparing your meals the night before? Do you make sure that you don't book any schedules during certain hours in the day? Like, how do you make it happen practically?
Okay. So great question. And everyone's going to be a little bit different. And I do want to preface this with the fact that I'm very fortunate. I work from home and I'm in private practice, so I'm able to arrange my schedule as needed. But I have worked with a lot of people actually who have corporate jobs where we spend months getting over the anxiety of putting a lunch break in their calendar and telling people that they're not available. Like that has been months of our work, right? And I just want to say, if you do work in a more corporate environment, or you're leading a team or you're on a team, you will relate to this, which is if our boss doesn't take lunch, even if they say, go have lunch, it's not actually modeling taking a lunch. And therefore, we actually feel like, are we doing something wrong by taking lunch?
Yes. Yes.
So it's really powerful. Like the lunch thing is so important. I want to back up though a little bit more before lunch, because there's some ways, because lunch is actually, it sounds like a joke, but that's a huge shift for people. Also, especially women who have a tendency to have some charge around food and often push through hunger. Skipping lunch. Some people believe that they're compulsive eaters and they're actually just skipping lunch and arriving at dinner starving. And of course, we're going to be compulsive if we haven't eaten or fueled ourselves. Backing it up a little bit, the way that I do it is I typically am in session for the first half of my day. That's when I try to see all my clients, and I really try to stack them pretty close together with just a small buffer in between to pee or put on chapstick or do something like that. I definitely try to drink an entire liter of water before noon. I want to pause on this, because this alone will change so many people's health span. It's so important to drink water every day, and we do not take the time. Some people I work with are like, I don't like to have to pee. I'm like, do you know what's happening when you pee? That's important.
Okay. So I have to share. One of my best friends, dear friends, does not drink water regularly. She does not drink water. She'll drink like 2 glasses of water a day. And I'm like, how do you feel? And she's like, I just don't like the taste. Like, I forget about doing it. It's like, I cannot relate. Personally, I do find that having a large water bottle with a straw helps to drink more water. Like when it's in a straw, I also drink room temperature water, which I feel like helps me to drink more water. If it was like ice cold, I don't know that I could drink as much, but I guess physiologically, internally, what is happening as we take in those fluids?
Oh my gosh. First of all, this is a beauty podcast, so everybody should know that one of the main and most accessible beauty tools is hydration.
Yes.
We want to think of, I mentioned earlier, like unburdening our detox pathways. And I'm going to use some words that might be a little, I'm going to say the word poop is what I'm trying to say, but we want to look at our colon. And so we poop. We want to look at our kidneys. We pee. We want to look at our lungs. We breathe. And we want to look at our skin. We sweat. Those are areas we want to always think of. Am I unburdening this pathway, right? Am I alleviating excess effort, energy, and work on these pathways so that my body can be in flow, right? And then I actually also add crying, because I'm like, that's a form of elimination. And we also have to think of unburdening toxic stress. That's a whole other category, a topic. But when we drink,
I just want to pause on crying as a release. I was just watching the Nikki Giovanni documentary, Nikki Giovanni, African-American poet. I think she's like in her 70s now. And she talked about how she's just finally given herself permission to cry as like almost part of her self-care practice. And I think that's so powerful, like seeing crying as a tool, as a release of these tensions and emotions and feelings we have bottled up.
Totally. I'm a big crier. So I'm actually trying to figure out when am I crying when I really want to be enraged? I need more diversity of my feelings.
What is your astrological sign?
I'm a Taurus.
Okay, Taurus. I know like Pisces are like known as being like very emotional and crying a lot. Okay, Taurus. Interesting. So
my friend was like, you need to be sponsored by Kleenex.
How often are you crying a week? Is it like multiple times a week?
I think I'm often moved to tears. Like I'm quite sensitive. So I do a lot of deep personal work. So depending on who I'm sitting with, I can be moved to tears. I don't know. I often cry when I'm moved. Weeping, if something is difficult, it is an unburdening. And sometimes you have a good cry, the way a good laugh you feel after, or I feel after, the way I feel if I go swimming. It's like I'm tired in a really good way.
Yes.
We're carrying a lot. We are really carrying a lot of toxic burden. And a big part of that burden is stress. And that stress is like everything from relationships, financial, and also the voice inside of our head evaluating. We're just carrying so much. So some people are going to maybe feel better doing other things, but crying is definitely a form of elimination.
Yes.
Drinking water is going to help relieve constipation. I just want to go back to the water thing, because you asked and people might be like waiting for that. It's going to help relieve constipation. When we pee, we are detoxing. So things are coming out, we're unburdening, we're cleansing. It can really help with reducing hunger between meals. So a lot of times we feel hungry when we're actually dehydrated. Yep. So it's really good for cravings. It's great for energy. It's really good for glow and hydration of the skin. You'll start to see this different suppleness in the skin. I even am like all about eating water. So I eat a lot of leaves and veggies and water-containing foods. Yes. And really the going to the bathroom is a really big part of that. So alleviating constipation, which so many of us face. And it's such a all around amazing tool. And if you can do it before noon, you get a liter out of the way. Yes. And you're not going to be peeing all night. So peeing while you're sleeping, I do understand that's disturbing. So then I just want to tell you how I get to lunch. So then I do my sessions. I have my water. I often have a green juice in the morning. I have a coffee in the morning. I have a lot of liquids in the morning. And then I really set aside my time for my lunch and I eat very simple foods. I'm not like, I have a membership and on the membership platform, I have a whole cooking segment with my husband. And it's really like demystifying the healthy kitchen. And it's like super simple, delicious food. And that's what I make for lunch. And so I'm really composing a salad, really. And I'll have a root vegetable with it. It's not elaborate, but the joy of being alone, maybe because I have two kids, a husband, I'm in the practice of seeing clients and then I'm bombarded with everything we're all bombarded with. I just love being alone for lunch.
Yes. And I love that you mentioned water containing foods because I've recently started having like jicama with guacamole as a snack. And I'm like, why did I not integrate this into my diet before? Because it's delicious and it has a ton of water. The question I have for you is, how important is the quality of your water? Because sometimes I read things about, like, oh, it has to be alkaline and they have all of these different types of water that they sell. We use a filter. We just have a filter on our tap and I feel like that's sufficient. But how important is the type of water you're drinking?
I'm so glad you asked. So ideally, we do want to be drinking filtered water or purified, which is not exactly the same, but both of those are great. I really love carbon filters. If you're using like a pitcher filter, there's one that you can put in your fridge called like a zero filter. We have an under the sink, like reverse osmosis filter, which I love. It's like one of my greatest luxuries in life that we got that. We brought it when we moved. But I do want to say we can get caught up in the details and then lose the plot. And especially with Instagram and TikTok and a lot of like health messaging, everybody has an opinion. And so some people will be like, but can I drink it cold? I heard that cold water is not good for you. And it's honestly, I would say drink it however you have access to it and whatever you like. If you love ice water, I have clients who cannot drink water. They suck on ice. If you love ice water, have ice water. If you like it with lemon, put lemon. Some people put stevia in their water to sweeten it, to get it down. Have herbal tea. That counts as water. So I'm pretty practical. So I would say filtered is great, but whatever you have access to and can make happen, do that.
Just get it in. On the Solace Health site, there's this great article about how to practice better self-care and different tips to practice better self-care. And one of the things that really stood out to me, I think it says to keep your eye on the prize. So it says, the more you think about your well-being when you're healthy and not just when you need medical help, the better off you'll be in the long run.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. I interrupted.
No, please interrupt. This really struck a chord with me. I think about a conversation I just had yesterday with someone who was talking to me about therapy and why they go to therapy. And it's like, there doesn't have to be something wrong for me to go to therapy. It's just like part of my overall practice. Sometimes you need this like reminder to take care of yourself, but when it is like this kind of ever-present, constant thing, you're so much better off in the long run.
Yes. I totally relate to the therapist thing because I'm like, if I wait until I'm in crisis to see my therapist, I have to catch him up on everything, right? And there's a beautiful expression that is pay the farmer now instead of the doctor later. And I actually recently have been working with some younger people. Typically, I work with people like in their 20s through their 60s, sometimes their 70s. But I've been working with some teenagers. And it's so interesting because there's not really an investment in the future. They're very in the now. So it's so tricky to be like, this is cumulative. This really has a big payoff. But it's so important. We live in a culture that's really about addressing disease instead of cultivating health.
Yes.
We are not upstreaming this problem. And this, again, has so much to do with larger topics, systems of power, corporate capitalist ideals. So yeah. It's a big topic, but just to say, we are raised to address our health when something goes wrong. But I would like to live a vibrant, connected life. And I've come to understand that for me, at first, when I started, health was this idea of improvement. And I still believe that it's really about improvement. But for me, as I'm entering my mid-40s, I really understand health to mean living with ease in my body, ease in my relationships, ease in where I am in terms of my personal path. And that requires a great deal of attention on a daily basis. I cannot wait until something goes wrong. I need to upstream that.
Wow. Okay. This idea of living with ease is major. And I want to go deeper on this because I have realized that so much of what I aspire to be isn't these kind of like hallmarks of success. It's actually what I aspire to be most is relaxed. Like, I want to be a relaxed woman. And I feel like we've all been in the presence of someone who is truly and deeply relaxed. I think it takes even more attention when you are a parent to have that relaxed presence. But when you are in the presence of someone that is truly at ease and comfortable in their skin and breathing deeply, you can feel that. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. And you're like, how is that person doing that?
To me, it's like actually like the most aspirational thing. And it's a kind of presence that you can feel. And I feel like I feel like I tap into it most when I am on vacation. When you like day three or four of vacation, you feel like, oh, like this is how I am just naturally with no kind of like external stress. But to be in that state all the time, I think is very aspirational. I don't want to talk about only products because self-care, of course, is free. You can practice self-care without spending money on anything, but there are supplements and tools and things you can buy to aid you on your health journey. And there's just so much out there, Daphne. I get overwhelmed. I also get, if I showed you all of the pills I have, the probiotics, the deep loading, I don't know what is worth taking, what I should be looking for, what is actually helpful in terms of vitamins and supplements. How do you feel about supplements?
So they have their place, but I really believe we have to first focus on those outputs that I mentioned before we focus on inputs. So we really need to lay the foundation because the supplements are really going to enhance what's there. Right? They're going to support what's there. So a couple things about that. One is I really focus first on noticing and establishing a kind of consistency in what we eat and our lifestyle practices, which can include some tools. I also really believe in comprehensive blood work once a year, because then this is where allopathic medicine is so amazing, is diagnostics, emergency medicine and diagnostics. And I'm not anti-doctor at all. And I'm so excited by how much progress we're making in becoming more functional and integrative. But medical medicine is great for diagnostics and emergency medicine, and comprehensive blood work is going to really let us know, oh, I do need to take a vitamin D supplement, or I am low in magnesium. Should I then choose to supplement with food? Should I supplement with a supplement? So I'm really all about those guiding forces. I think it's so tricky to figure out if a supplement is working if we don't have a kind of consistent routine in place, because then it's just new information all the time. So I'm really into repetition as a form of healing through repetition and as a form of change. So once the diet and the lifestyle is relatively consistent, then introduce a supplement and see if you noticed a bump, right?
Which supplement brands do you like? Because I feel like there is such a wide range.
Yes. Yeah. So Mary Ruth Organics, who is my coach, she has so much integrity. I trust her. She's so deeply connected to helping others. Mm-hmm. So she has two hero products that I love. It's a morning multivitamin and a nighttime multimineral. That's a beautiful place to start. Her thing is everything is liquid or gummy. It's more bioavailable. It's easier for people to take. My kids take Mary Ruth Organics. They take Mary Ruth Organics D and B. And like I put one of the gummies in their lunchbox, they're thrilled. So I also love seed probiotics. I take seed probiotics. I think that's an incredible product. Most people can benefit from a probiotic, but not like a probiotic is going to assist if you already have a diet that's really enzymatic, water containing, fiber rich, natural single ingredient foods. A probiotic, can I just say, we can never isolate one food or one supplement. We have to look at the plate, the diet, and the lifestyle. Nothing is a part. We are not made out of parts. We are a big organism. So everything applies, right? So, but I do love seed. Mary Ruth's seed. What else do I take?
Do you know what I've started doing that I love? I'm taking a magnesium powder at night, putting a few spoonfuls. And I think the brand that I'm using is called Wooden Spoon. Have you heard of this brand?
No, but I like the name.
Yes. Magnesium just helps me sleep so well. Do you take magnesium?
Yes, I do. Thanks for reminding me. I love magnesium. I like magnesium. That's the moon juice one. It's pink. It's so pretty. It's a powder. You put it. Sometimes if I want something a little sweet after dinner, that does the trick. And I also like Symbiotica makes a magnesium. It's a pouch. It's really good. There is magnesium in Mary Ruth's nighttime minerals. And what's great about magnesium, super good if you have endometriosis, by the way. It's really good for cramps if that's one of your symptoms. Also helps you go to the bathroom the next day, helps sleep. There's a lot of benefits. Magnesium is great. I think everyone could take a magnesium. Like you don't need blood work. Sorry, Epsom salt is also magnesium. So you can take a magnesium bath.
Which I also do for my toddler. He'll do a little Epsom salt bath. And I feel like he is like more ready for bed when we do that.
Yes. One of my best friends who has four kids, she's like, slather them in magnesium cream. Slather them before bed. Yeah.
Interesting. I find that everyone carries tension very differently. I find that I carry so much tension in my upper, are these my trapezius muscles? I'm like my neck and this area. And I started looking into, maybe this is horrifying that I was looking into this because I saw it on TikTok, getting Botox all along this area because it basically helps to reduce pain there. Some people do it to have a slimmer neckline. As I was talking to my strength trainer about it, she was like, if you're essentially like freezing the muscles there, so the other muscles are going to have to like work harder to overcompensate it. And then it set me on this whole thing of your body has this like natural balance, and that pain and that tension I feel in my neck and shoulder, it's telling me, it's communicating something that I need to have communicated. And to eliminate that it's like I should eliminate the source, not eliminate the symptom of the source.
I mean, everything I was going to say, you already said, which is if we're experiencing a sensation, we are so quick to try to stifle that sensation. I am really about becoming very curious about what we're feeling. And I have two children. One of my children was a hospital birth and one was a home birth. And I remember part of preparing for a home birth, they talk about like contractions as a sensation versus as pain. They're painful, by the way. I am not co-signing that. I just found it helpful to be like, oh, sensation does not always mean I need to do something immediately. The more curious we get, I think what you're realizing is you're carrying a lot of stress, and there might be ways where you can look at stress management. And before, like I would first do Botox cosmetically where people can see it before I would do it in my neck, I would do body work. I would create time and space. And I'm not saying get a massage once a week, but putting that into your routine as a part of your practice and seeing if that has an impact and how that might slow you down. And my same friend who told me about slathering my kids with magnesium, she has this little massage tool that you fill with hot water. It's very small. I'll find out what it is. Maybe we can link. And she does a self-massage on her neck in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I think having to address and look at it instead of numbing it out or fixing it is part of the process, the arduous process of taking care of ourselves.
Yeah, there are no shortcuts. You brought up Botox, cosmetic Botox. You have incredible skin. We also know skin is the largest organ. And I've been doing this podcast for 8 years now. So I've seen like the clean beauty movement. I feel like I've seen all of these different trends. And I love that I feel like we're in a place as a beauty community where everyone's like, do whatever makes you happy. Like, if you want to do a little Botox and only use organic products on your face, great. Like, you can have both. How do you approach your skincare?
Okay, thank you for saying I have beautiful skin. LA has really good light too, but I struggled for an entire year with really bad dermatitis, like really bad.
Oh gosh.
People may think I'm talking about a little breakout here. It was like a lizard skin on my face, which is very humbling when you're a health coach. What I found being a health coach is I just keep having these issues, and it's to continue learning, right? And to continue to be authentically in practice myself. And that was a whole journey. And one of the things that came out of it was I started using the Marie Veronique and Christina Holy product line, which is all about restoring skin barrier. But I did all this other stuff first. I did an anti-parasitic, I did a Fraxel laser, then I started rebuilding my barrier. In terms of injectables, I think that we have to be very realistic. There are people who are like, I will only drink this milk if the goat was happy and raised. But I live in Los Angeles, and before that I lived in New York. So we need to be very realistic. We are completely burdened with toxins. So I would say if that's a priority, to try to balance it out in other ways, right? Try to make sure you sweat profusely 1 to 3 times a week. Really emphasize hydration and leafy greens. Part of being at ease is feeling good in our bodies. So whatever floats people's boats. I've done Botox. I know people do it like every 2-3 months. Personally, for me, I make a lot of funny faces, and I talk and I use my face. Yes. I don't like the frozen or the flat look for me, but I'm into it once a year just to slow down the deepening of the lines. And that would be like my personal preference. And I think everyone has to land on what they feel comfortable with and what's in integrity with what they say they want in terms of their health.
Yes. You brought up Marie Veronique, which is one of these skincare lines that my audience in particular has gone out of their way to tell me how incredible the products are. It's like one of these lines that people feel like a really like deep affinity for. What do you like from the line? And what do you think makes it special?
Okay. What do I like from the line? I basically exclusively use those products because when I tell you about my dermatitis, it was really bad. It was so bad. The fact that I have had clear and what I consider great skin for me for so long, I really do attribute to this product line, and not just the product line. I will say my diet and my lifestyle and what I'm working on in terms of easing up inside has an impact on what my face looks like, 1,000%. But I brought two of them so I could tell you exactly their names. She has two kind of hero products. One is the Barrier Restore Serum.
Yes.
And what's the Barrier Lipid Complex? Those are like two hero products, but I also use her. Let me back up and say these are all essential oil free. So they're non-toxic, clean products without essential oils, which can be a little too activating for some people. Mm-hmm. I also use her essential oil free cleanser. It's an oil cleanser. And I use the toner, these two, and some of the serums. And that's really, I will say some very generous brands have gifted me product, and I love the Futura skin line, and I do something so decadent, and it's because they gave it to me, but I use their like night cream as my hand, elbow, and foot cream before I go to bed because I'm so scared to put things on my face. And literally, it's such a great product. My hands and my elbows and my feet feel amazing, but I don't know. Yeah.
Wait, is this, what's the brand for Fortuna?
It's called Fortuna.
I know Fortuna. Is it the blue balm?
Yes, the blue balm. But oh, I use the pink night cream for my elbows, hands, and feet.
Okay. Can I tell you that pink night cream is literally on my nightstands? Like, I use that at night. It's great. But I also love the balm. I love balms in general. Like, any
balm is great.
A balm is just like such a beautiful, luxurious, sensorial feeling.
Totally. And you should take that balm to your neck and massage your neck with that balm.
Oh, yes. No, I do. I do neck all the way down to chest. I'm like slathered in oils.
Yes. But Marie Veronique and Christina Holy, It's so funny because it's there's no essential oil, so it smells like, I think it has cholesterol in it. And I'm like, this smells like cholesterol. Like, it's not, it's very, it feels very down to earth, right? And yeah, it just really works for me. I remember a few years ago, I tried it and I think I was just in a different place with my skin and I felt like it was a little thick, like not clogging, but it wasn't, I didn't gravitate towards it then, but now I'm very devoted. And they also just launched a body emulsion and I'm very into like dry brushing, showering, and then putting on a lotion or an oil. And the body emulsion is very good.
Okay. I was just going to ask you if you do dry brushing, gua sha, like what your body care practice is. Do you do gua sha? Do you do facial massage?
So I do dry brush and I do really, someone once told me, a massage therapist once told me, you respond very positively to massage. And I took that as such a compliment. And I do really try to get like a massage. I like to be massaged. I don't like to massage myself. And my husband is really good at massage, but I always get nervous that he thinks it's going to lead to sex. And I'm like, I can't fully relax if this is like a treat.
Right. Right. I totally understand that.
So I don't do a ton of gua sha. I think those things are so great. I'm very practical and realistic about what I can do, but I have some of those tools and I wish I could incorporate more of that. But gua sha is great too. And all body massage and dry brushing is so good because it activates the lymphatic system. And that's a form of tissue cleansing again. So that's a detox tool. It's not just like it's, it does help with supple, soft skin, but there's something deeper going on, right? So I like that.
How do you balance having a social life and being well? Because I think that's really hard for people.
That's such a great question. I love that question. Okay. So I really feel so strongly that so much health stuff that's out there is actually making it harder and harder for people to engage and participate. It's like all of these elimination diets and saying, I don't do this and I don't do that. And when I think of health, it's about being engaged and connected and also being of service to my immediate community and the community at large. I like to hold that in my heart and remember that seeing friends is a health practice. Confiding in people with whatever we're going through. If we're in a difficult relationship or I struggled with fertility, some people are dealing with miscarriage, abortion, divorce, how hard it is to be a parent. This is a form of unburdening and it is so important. And if you have a health condition or a practice that makes it difficult to eat in restaurants, we got to go on walks together. We have to schedule phone dates and keep those phone dates as though they were a doctor's appointment. Pally and I go to our parent council meeting at school literally as a date. So that's sad, but it's like, however we can get out of our isolated experience and more into the communal experience doesn't always have to be centered around food or staying up super late or drinking. And there are also ways to adapt to those situations. Occasionally, it's great to disrupt your sleep routine. And occasionally a little bit of poison helps you thrive.
Yeah, I'm all for having fun in moderation. I find that everyone in LA wants to do everything extremely early. I make a dinner reservation for 8:30 and my friends who are like, have lived here a long time, they're like, 8:30? We go to dinner at 6. I'm like, oh, okay, that's different. Getting sleep is another thing that I struggle with. I know you see clients from everywhere. How do you help people have better sleep practices and better sleep hygiene?
Yeah, it's so important because while we're sleeping, it's really one of the deepest cleansing processes. And it's when our body repairs, restores, regenerate. I want everyone to think of sleep as becoming younger because I feel like that's going to help people get it together. There are systems in our body that are only activated while we're sleeping because they have to do with being in a fasted state. That's your migrating motor complex. There is a glymphatic system, which is a brain cleansing system that only happens while we're sleeping. So it's so important. Mm-hmm. Now, sleep can be so stressful for so many of us. And one thing that was really eye-opening for me to learn is if we're struggling to fall asleep, we need to focus on our wake time. We need to really get into the practice of waking up around the same time every day, even if you don't fall asleep till 3 a.m. and you're like, I'm going to be a person who wakes up at 7:30. Wake up at 7:30, even if you didn't fall asleep until 3 a.m., because it's like being jet lagged. You have to train your body. You'll have like two or three probably horrible days of being overtired, but the body responds to repetition and rhythm and consistency. And so you can use the wake time. You cannot force yourself to fall asleep, but you can force yourself to wake up. So that's yes. Like a key point.
That is also involves a lot of discipline though. I have tried to do this and I just like hit the snooze button. For people that are chronic snoozers, they will basically continue to hit that button. This is me. I am the people that I'm asking about until the last possible moment that they need to wake up. Like, how do you get out of that? I truly don't know how to break out of the cycle.
I'm going to say something that might be difficult for a lot of people to hear, but I have to say it to myself all the time. Mood follows action. We often are like waiting to be in the mood to exercise or waiting to be in the mood, the perfect conditions to wake up at this time. It's not going to happen. It's definitely not going to happen for me. Doesn't even happen. I feel so bad that I'm like calling my husband out so much, but even sometimes when we're like gonna have sex, it's like, I have to be like, I know once I begin, I'm gonna be into this and I'll stop thinking about all the other things I have to do. Mood follows action. Obviously that's safe and consensual sex that I'm talking about. But with things like exercise, I'm like, I run on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it is just something I do. And I really do not have an emotional relationship with it. I don't really check in that much on how I'm feeling about it, because let me tell you, I'm usually like, I'd rather organize or get something else done or sit and have a slower coffee. I have kids, so the morning's kind of different, but I really tell myself mood follows action. Get myself out of bed instead of pushing the alarm four times, a snooze, and really see, because you'll see like the mood happens pretty quickly after the action. Yes. It's just crossing that barrier. And that barrier is so powerful. So I just say mood follows action. I'll get out there and run. And if I really can't do it, which almost never happens, I'll just walk.
But you put on the sneakers and you go out and you do it. That's so powerful.
Yes. And also I don't think about like willpower. I don't like to think of like, I have to force myself. That's why routine is so amazing. It's not about the emotional relationship. It's about what is my rhythm? What is my routine? The same way you brush your teeth, you make your bed, you're in routine. We're in routine. If you have a child, you are in routine. Yes. If you don't have a child, there's also lots of routines.
Right.
So identifying and then reestablishing that. And then knowing that at first it can be awful and that's okay. Something being awful and difficult doesn't mean it's wrong. It's the repetition. Repetition is the most amazing thing. It's just incredible.
Hearing mood follows action is so helpful to me. And I love your insistence on routine. Are there any unexpected elements of your self-care routine or things that you integrate into your routine that maybe, aren't the usual traditional advice?
I think that, I have some that would be like, sometimes I really like to watch The Real Housewives.
Yes. Okay. We turn your brain off for a little bit. Exactly. Which city are we watching?
Oh, I love Beverly Hills. Salt Lake really had me. I like, there's some characters on Salt Lake where I'm like, this is anthropological. This is really interesting. I actually feel like I've really learned a lot about like how to apologize properly. And then I found out Mike White and Roxanne Gay watch The Housewives. So I was like, okay, this is really sophisticated.
No, okay. I don't watch The Housewives, but so many extremely intelligent, I would argue some of the most intelligent people I know and colleagues love The Housewives. There is something about it where it just brings people in.
It just brings people in. And so I'm quite engaged. I'm very present with my clients. It is like there is nothing else going on for me. And I listen to a lot of podcasts and I try to read when I'm in the sauna. I try to sauna 3 times a week and I really try to work in the sauna, learn in the sauna. And so sometimes I just want to do something that's like my equivalent of like deli candy, and that's the Housewives. And I just let myself do it a little bit and it's really good.
I also love that you have a sauna at home.
I do. And I really feel like there's certain investments that I've made over the years. I would never, ever tell anyone to go out and buy a sauna, but I was practicing using it for so long. And when I had kids, I'm like, I'm getting a sitter. This is going to be more economical if I have one. And I had it in my basement in New York and I moved it here when we came here and I use it very regularly. And it's some people might think, oh, wow, a sauna, so luxurious. Yes, yes. But I have to put it into my routine. Otherwise, the day will get away from me. So I know on Monday, Wednesday and Friday, I also sauna. I don't know exactly what time because the schedule is different, but I get it in and it's a part of my routine. I think that routine for some people feels so rigid, but it opens up so much free space for me too. Having those rhythms.
Yes. Yes. I'm so inspired to overhaul my entire schedule from this conversation. Like I'm not thinking about, am I sweating enough? Do I have enough just like dedicated blocks to move my body, make sure I'm eating well. And it's like making that time. I actually can't think of any, there's no business plan or pitch or anything that's more important than this work because everything flows from feeling good in your body.
That's so true. And feeling resourced. And it's like, I can't honestly and responsibly witness and guide people if I'm not resourced. It doesn't mean I have to be perfect. I'm not perfect. I have a lot of health conditions. I have a lot of things I'm working on. When I say I have endometriosis, that's a chronic condition. I'm in remission, but I still have to pay very close attention to that. I have a thyroid imbalance. I get anxious. So I'm not like from this healed place, but I have to feel resourced. I have 2 children. I have a marriage that I would like to stay in. And I have amazing friends. That is so much work, all of that.
Yeah, it is.
That if I'm not feeling resourced, it will diminish the quality of all those relationships. And I just want to say one thing. You said, I want to overhaul my schedule. And I totally get that impulse. But truly, if everyone just drank 1 liter of water before noon, and they did it on repeat, what you find is the next level comes to us. If we're really accountable about getting up at the time we said we were and having the water, it's not easy work. It's simple, but it's not easy because it's easier to buy something like a supplement. It's easier to say, I'm going to cut out grains, sugar, gluten in a way that's easier, but that's so absolute. That's not who we are as people in relationship, right? So choosing one thing, having a salad with your lunch, sweating once a week, right? Putting a body work once a month, having the liter of water every day before noon, the repetition is a form of change and it leads in a more kind of natural way to the next thing.
Amazing. I can see why your clients love you so much because you make everything feel so tangible and realistic to the lives that we live. So I really appreciate you sharing all of this greatness. I feel like you need to come back.
Thank you.
My final question for you is, when do you feel most beautiful?
I feel right now in my life most beautiful when I feel present. When I feel fully there, not thinking about the phone on my counter in my pocket or what I need to do or what I could have done better, just really present, even in a fleeting moment, like almost brought to tears because I'm a crier, but just thinking in a marriage, it can be so administrative at this point with our children and having a moment of recognition with my husband and remembering who we are. And that requires a great deal of presence. And so I think that right now in my life, that's when I feel the most beautiful.
Oh, I definitely felt that. Thank you so much, Daphne. It's amazing to see what you're building with, doing well, and really grateful for it, for your time and wisdom today.
Oh my gosh, Brooke, it was such a pleasure to sit with you. And we need to get into each other's social schedule.
I know we do. I'm always up for a hike. So I would love that.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I really am so happy and grateful to be here.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. I absolutely loved that conversation with Daphne, and I've been integrating so many of her tips since our conversation, and I can honestly say that I feel so much better when I am consistent about my water drinking, about waking up early, unfortunately, about taking my magnesium at night, stretching, like just really thinking about how do I want to build in little pockets of time to take care of myself. Guess what? For Naked Beauty listeners, I said, Daphne, can we give the girls something? Sometimes when I interview beauty brands and founders, they'll give me like a discount code. But what Daphne is prepared to offer, which is amazing, is a 1 week free trial to her platform, Doing Well, which I'll link to in the show notes. But you will get Daphne's guidance on videos, recipes. She's got product recommendations as well. And I feel like I need to have her back on the show. I have more questions about hormones and how to calibrate your endocrine system and, you know, how to keep cortisol low. We could have an ongoing discussion about all of this because, again, it is all connected to beauty. Thank you all so, so much for listening. I have some really exciting guests coming up. Let me just say, my guest next week has won multiple Grammys and is an icon that I've kind of looked up to and admired for most of my life. Make sure you're subscribed to see that episode come out on Monday. And if you're not following at Naked Beauty Planet on Instagram, that is the beauty community. Come and hang out. We have so much fun there. We're trying to do interesting beauty content everywhere we can. Thank you so much for listening. Today's episode was produced and edited by Mbie Kasanga. And I'll be back next week.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.